Blog Talk Radio.
The LaRusha Cain Show.
Well, hello, beautifuls, and thank you for tuning into the LaRusha Cain Show on Living Out Loud Radio. I am excited to be with you. Yes, I am. Well, as always, I have my tea. I hope that you have your tea, your coffee, or your favorite beverage as we sit back and chat. Well, today, yes, we have another phenomenal co-host. Again, I know I say it every week, listening audience, but today we do. We have in the virtual green room, yes, Curtis Riggins. You know, he's back there watching March Madness, eating his virtual pretzels, drinking his virtual soda, and getting refreshed and getting ready to come on and talk to us today. It's going down. So before we bring him in, I ask you to go to your social media buddies. Go hit up your Facebook family and friends, your Instagram buddies, your Twitter, your tweets, and let them know it's going down today on the LaRusha Cain Show. We are going to have a phenomenal show. Curtis is phenomenal at what he does and what he does. Yes, he is phenomenal. And if you have a teen, a teenager, you want them to be a part of the show. If you are clergy or in the church, you want them to be a part of the show. Or if you just want to talk, listen, share, understand what's going on now with our youth, with our church, this is a show you want to listen to because we're talking about all of it today. It's going down. Yeah. Our topic for today is the youth of today and the state of the church. You know, when I was thinking about this topic, I began to think about what's going on and what's been going on in the media. You know, we just had the youth to walk out of school. They're protesting, and there's a lot of things that's going on. And my question is, where's the church in all of this? What are we saying? What are we doing? What are we contributing? What are we supposed to be doing in this time and season? How are we supposed to be impacting our youth? How are we supposed to be educating our youth? What are we supposed to be doing? So today we have, again, in the co-host chair, Curtis Riggins, and he has worked with youth for over 10 years in a variety of positions. He is the Youth and Young Adult Director at New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. He is the co-director of Impact Conference, formerly the CEO director, yes, of GNOW, Generation Now Conference of 6 years, which was part of the the General National Baptist Convention of the Northwest. You know, he has done a lot of things. Also, he was the head middle school girls basketball coach, yeah, for 2 years. I'm telling you, he's done a lot. And in 2007 to 2018, the school year, this last year, he's the assistant varsity girls high school coach. Yeah. He also has worked with the Teen Summit Musical for the last 4 years. He's a father. He's a brother. He's a friend. He's a lot of things. This man has grown up and was raised in the church and, you know, has a powerful testimony of things that God has done and is doing in his life. And I can't wait for you to hear, to know, to understand more about this phenomenal co-host that we have on today. So I'm not going to prolong our time together, I'm telling you, because it's calmed down. And if you haven't hit up your friends, hint, hint, wink, wink, you might want to, because it's going to get live. I know, you know that song back in the day, it's going to get live. Well, it's going to get live today. Yes, it is. So I'm not going to prolong our time together. I just can't wait to bring him in. Hello, Curtis, and welcome to the LaRusha King Show.
Hello, how's it going?
Oh, it's going wonderful. How's it going with you?
Doing good. Just sitting back watching March Madness.
Oh, love it. Love, love, love it. I was watching it last night and, you know, and what I couldn't watch, I, you know, got caught up on ESPN. And so, you know, you find yourself screaming at the TV about a couple of things. But, I just want to say thank you for being on the show. And thank you for talking about this particular topic, because, you know, I've been wanting to discuss this with so many people, and some people would not come on to talk about this. I don't know why, but I'm glad that you decided to come on and to share with us, because I know that that you're doing some great things. And listening audience, they have a conference coming up, so we're going to talk about that too, that's geared towards the youth and young adult. So if you have some youth and young adult that just need something different, just looking for change, he's going to be able to share that with you also as well. So, well, today we're talking about the youth of today and the state of the church. But before we go into that, I always do this thing called top five. And Curtis, you know, I went to the movies one day with my husband and two of my girlfriends, and, you know, Chris Rock had that show. And he wanted to know, he asked the room, the people that was in the room with him, who are your favorite top five rappers? Now, I'm not going to ask you who are your favorite top five rappers, because, you know, we might start beefing, because you might say Jay-Z, I might say DMX, I'm just saying, or Eminem, but that's not the question. You know, so I have some other questions for you.
All right.
Would you like to play, or you game?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Well, the first question is, it's a sports-related question. What is your favorite sport? Is that basketball, football, baseball, hockey, golf?
Basketball.
What's your favorite sport? And why?
Basketball. I grew up watching it, grew up playing it. It's just one of my favorites. I can relate to it a little bit more.
Okay. What's your favorite team?
The Lakers.
Oh, God. Lakers of old or Lakers of now?
The Lakers.
Okay.
Old, new.
Okay.
The Lakers.
All right. Well, he's a Lakers fan, y'all. Okay? All right. We're going to move on to number two, because I'm not going to go there. Number two is, since you are a man that loves to travel, name one place that you would like to visit that you haven't visited yet, and why?
Dubai. I like to go to Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about what it looks like. I hear great things. So I'm just curious about Dubai, okay. So I want to go there.
All right, Dubai it is. Well, question number three. If you could be stranded on a desert island with anyone in the world, anyone.
Wow.
Who would it be and why?
It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back to that one.
It was tough.
It was kind of tough.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll come back at the end and ask you that question, give you opportunity to think. Okay. Well, I know that you have two daughters. And which one of these would you prefer with your daughters? Playing baby doll with the baby doll? Having a tea date? Or reading books with them?
Reading books.
Yes. Love it. Love it.
Reading is fundamental.
Yes, it is. It really is. Okay. Number five. Now this. Now, people, don't hit him up after this question. This was just hypothetical, okay? It's a hypothetical question. Okay, let's just say you won the lottery, okay? You won $7.5 million. What would you do with it?
The first thing I would do? I would pay my church off.
Okay, good. Yeah. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Give me one more thing you would do with it.
Go to a financial advisor.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Well, I'm going to go back to that question, number three. About being stranded on a desert island.
All right.
With anyone in the whole world, who would it be? Would you want to be on Gilligan's Island with you?
How long am I stranded?
Let's just say 10 years.
Who?
With anyone. It would be Curtis's Island, not Gilligan's Island.
This may be the easy answer, but I'll go with Barack. I'll go with Barack right now. I wasn't ready for this question, so I'll go with Barack.
Okay, why would you pick Mr. Obama?
I think he's a pretty good example. As a father, as a husband, a president, I think he's one of the greater presidents, but more on a personal level, he looks like and comes off as a very respectable man. So I would love to pick his brain and try to get as much information out of him as I can.
Good. That was a good one. That was a really good one.
That's as a father. Has been, you know, on the personal level, not on the president level, but the personal level, yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. But thank you so much, Curtis, for playing my game. You know, this is what I do every time I open up with a show, and I give these phenomenal questions to see where people's mind is at. And it gives our listening audience an opportunity to get to know you a little bit more. So we're going to go on the topic of conversation for today, which is the youth of today and the state of the church. You know, and I know you grew up in the church, and so did I. And, you know, we've seen a lot of things, and we've learned a lot of things, and we've heard a lot of things, you know, in, you know, growing up. And, you know, I grew up in a time when things was just a little bit different, just a little bit. Then I'm going to go into all of that. But things was different. And so, you know, I wanted to ask you, you know, about the culture of the youth of today. The culture is different from when we were growing up. And what do you see, or what do you think when you look at the culture of our youth of today?
I'm just going to be real. They're spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
They're spoiled. But they deal with a lot of different things that a lot of us didn't have to deal with. They're growing up in the culture where they're dealing with a lot more, I would say, adult problems,
mm-hmm.
kid problems. You know, a lot of them are having to be the adult in homes when they're not the adult. So they're not really able to live their kid life. That's some of them. Some of them are growing up in a culture where they're just going off of what's on TV. You know, the TV is raising them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mixture of a bunch of different cultures in one. You know, there's all different type of them out there, especially the ones I do, the students and the youth that I deal with. They're all on different levels, but it's so much different. It's still different than what we have to deal with and go through.
You know, and you're absolutely right. I was thinking about, you know, when I was growing up, things was, you know, a little bit more easy. You can still kind of leave your front door unlocked. We were still in that phase. You better not try that now. it's interesting. So I received a text message the other day, and it was my son, my oldest son, texting me. He was at a dance with his kids. And watching his kids dance and having that moment with him. And he was talking about how things were just different and you know, the way the kids are now. And he said he had a son standing there, and his son was like, "Can I go dance with these girls?" And he's like, no. And he said when he looked up, it was five girls came to him talking about, "Can we dance with your son?" And he was like, "Oh, okay." You know, it's just things are just a little bit more different back in, you know, than versus when we were growing up. You know, the culture of music is different, and you know, and they're influenced by different things. And so, I want to know, because like you work in the high schools, and you get to see so many things, and you're the youth director at a church, and all the things that you do, as far as advocating for youth, you see the culture, you see how they're influenced. Can you help us as parents to understand that? Because you see the peer pressure in the school and things like that. Okay, so can you share with us how they're influenced or what they're influenced by?
A lot of things they're influenced by is the people around them. And once again, mm-hmm. I go back, and I'll keep referencing this, I'm sure, to what's on television. You know, we grew up in the age, they're growing up in the age now where there's reality shows, but mm-hmm. it's not reality. It's a reality show, but it's not the real reality of life. They're losing the connection between each other because everything is technology now. So they're influenced by the technology aspect. I'll give an example is, you know, it's a status quo. You have to look a certain way. You have to walk a certain way. You have to wear a certain type. That really hasn't changed from when I was growing up, but it's a little bit more higher state now that they got to fit in when they are around people because they're not around people as much anymore because everything's through social media. So when they do get around people, they have to fit in and they have to do things where they feel accepted. And they don't know how to do that because everything is behind a keyboard. So there's no social interaction nowadays. You know, because even at school, where I work, a lot of the issues isn't issues that started face to face. It's, oh, they said this on Instagram. They said this on Snapchat. You know, they said they were going to do this. And group chats, you know, there's a lot of group chats now. And they're in these group chats, and it spills over. So the advice I can give is watch your kids, you know, talk to them. Have those one-on-one conversations. Engage with your kids more so they can build that social aspect.
Yeah. It's absolutely true because, you know, I have a granddaughter. She's 11. And, you know, she got her little iPhone and stuff and, you know, texting, whatever the case is. And nowadays, you better know how, you know, they abbreviate everything. So the way that they talk, you know, via text and everything is a lot different. And a lot of times I think sometimes we're just not paying attention. And things, and you said it, you know, starts at home and stuff. And we're missing it. We're missing so many things. And, you know, and the music is different. I heard a song talking about something, I wish I would die, something like that. And I was like, what? Something like, you got a suicide song now? So, you know, everything is just vastly different. And their influence by their peers and music and so many different things. And I think it's sad, but yet good that, you know, they are very knowledgeable of a lot of things, but it's sad because they lose that hands-on, that one-on-one communication, social skills, you know what I mean? How to be able to talk to people, how to interact, you know, all of that stuff. So I know you see that at school, and how do you address it when you see it happening, you know, with your girls that that you coach? How do you deal with that, the peer pressure?
Always talk. Oh, I always have conversations. I ask them how their day is. I ask them what's going on. And even them, even my daughters there, it was good. It was, you know, we had fun. But I push them to engage more. What was fun about it? You know, what actually happened? And kind of, you have to ask follow-up questions. So you have to continue to ask so they'll, you know, pull it out. And then it starts a conversation. And that's what works for me. But, of course, my kids are younger now, so it's a lot easier to do that now. But I'm sure the older they get, I'll have to switch my strategy up a little bit.
Yeah,
but now I got it pretty easy right now. So I got it easy, but it's not easy. But yeah, I'm still in the honeymoon stage a little bit, and I'm embracing it right now. So
you know, I laugh because, you know, I think back to when my kids were little. Now, you know, they're all fathers, and one is married, and I got 7 grandkids, and I'm like, you know, and I'm watching them parent, you know, their children. And I'm looking and I'm like, wow, you know, it's just, everything's just different. And the type of parents they are, I'm not saying they're bad parents. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just watching them with their daughters or their sons and different things. And I'm like, oh, wow, you know, that time has flown by so fast. And I was sharing with my son, you know, your daughter's, you know, her birthday's coming up. How do you feel, you know, that she's almost a teenager, you know? And he started shaking in his boots, you know, because the way things are now versus then, you know, when we was growing up, we had Big Mama, and Big Mama was really a Big Mama. And we had the church, you know, advocating for things back in the, you know, in the day. Especially, I wasn't born in the 60s, so I don't, you know, I'm just saying. But back in the 60s, the different things, they were advocates, you know. So my next question would be, how does the church fit in the fabric of today's youth? How does the church fit in that whole spectrum? How do we bridge the gap?
Ooh, the church is a tough, it's not tough, but they have to play a part. And I'll go back real quick that part of the issues is back in the day we had family structure, just like you said. You had a big mama. You know, there was that stronghold back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We all had a family. You know, now these kids are pretty much loners. You know, and then they feel like black sheeps to, you know, to the past. They don't understand the past. But the church sometimes has to get out their own way and allow. They have to allow the youth to come in as they are. You have to allow them to come in as they are. And you have to embrace it. You can't expect them to walk in like you are now. And I think especially in the church, we're more arrogant. We have a persona that we are better, or we haven't went through anything. And sometimes we forget that we was young. And these kids are dealing with a lot. So we have to learn first, we have to embrace them and understand and listen that they are different. That they are different, but in that same process, they're different, partly, probably going to offend a little people, a couple people here, they're different because of generational curses that happen. Okay. They didn't just get here, so somewhere along the way, us as adults, us as the church, failed the youth. We failed the younger parents. We shunned the parents that have babies at 16 and 18 away, so they have to figure it out on their own. Instead of embracing them and bringing them in, we talked about it. So a lot of them are automatically turned away from the church right there. So when they have kids, they don't take their kids to church because they was turned away, so now they're letting the streets raise them, because the streets and the church are starting to look the same.
Love it.
So we have to learn to understand. We have to learn to say it's okay. We have to get out ourselves and say, hey, let's see what they're talking about. Let's see how I can help. But listen. Not listen to respond, but listen to understand.
Yes. You hit on some things that, I'm so sorry, go ahead.
And that's kind of where it starts. It gets a lot deeper, but it has to start there. That's the beginning stage. That's the bare minimum of it. But as they come into the church, once they come into the church, you can't be afraid to say, my time is up, and step aside. I took this as far as I can take it. Let them come in, because youth understand youth.
Yes.
They're going to know. So you have to put them in positions, and you have to put them in a situation where they can bring other youth, because they're out there. We the church, we're not out there. We're not in the schools. Some of us are not. So you have to rely on the youth to bring other youth in. And the church are hypocrites.
Yeah.
Flat out, they're just hypocrites. And that's part of the biggest issue in the church when it comes to you.
You know, everything you said I agree with wholeheartedly. I do. I totally agree. So if someone got mad, I'm sorry. It's the truth, and I knew this was going to be a controversial topic, and I knew that there was no way to flower this up in no kind of way, because our youth are hurting, our youth are dying, our youth are looking for something. They're expressing themselves, and when I saw them out there rallying and, you know, leaving school and doing the thing, I said, where's the church? Where's the safety net? Where's the instruction? Where's the love? Where's the guidance? And you're absolutely right. You have to let them come in as they are. They're not going to be the first Sunday Christian with the hat and, you know, and all of that. That's not them. This is a different culture. It's a different time. And we can't try to make them fit the mold. And I think that's what I've seen a lot, that you got to look this way. You got to lead this way. You have to sound this way. And not just accepting them for who they are. But you also said something that really just made me just shake my head over here. I look like one of the bobbleheads when you said this. You say move out the way. You got to move in out the way. The youth beget youth. They do. So if any pastor, ministry leader that wants to do something with the youth will get the youth, but you got to let the youth do their part and stop hindering them.
You got to allow them to be them. That's the most important, because another thing is a lot of churches are the ones that are hurting for you are still traditional.
Mm-hmm.
They still believe in the traditional way, and I have nothing wrong with tradition. But if tradition is no longer working to save the youth, we have to change something.
Yes.
Tradition worked for 70s, 80s, 90s, where we had families. These youth don't have families. They're single-parent homes. There's, you know, I see kids that are 15, 16 years old having to be parents. Because there's only a mom in the house, and she works, you know, 72 hours a day. You know, that's what it feels like to them. So they got to leave school early, go pick up their sisters or brothers from elementary school, or they come to school late because they got to drop, you know, their siblings off. So they can't make it to school on time. We have to understand that.
Yeah.
These kids are different. These youth of today are different than what they was. Different for me, because I don't know what that's like. You know, my mom and dad took us where we needed to go. You know, that was easy. I wouldn't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like to be in their shoes. So when they come, you have to listen and try to understand.
Yes. You know. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And the past, you know, it's going to be all right. That doesn't work anymore. Just keep on praying.
Mm.
Just keep on praying. That doesn't work. They need some type of guidance. And you can't be afraid to step out there and step out of your suit, step out of your dresses, not literally, but step out of it and take the cover that you have off. Say, I know what you're going through. I understand. I used to be there. I used to be the drug dealer. I used to be the one selling dope. Instead of I'm pastor or I'm the bishop.
Yes.
You have to step out the pulpit, stop sitting high, looking low, and get down with the youth on one level and say, this is what it is. And I don't think a lot of churches do that, the ones that are struggling with getting youth in. You know, it's the older saints that I respect. No disrespect to the older saints, but they're hindering the youth coming in. And once again, these are for the churches that are struggling to get youth. They want to hold on to titles.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just Curtis Riggins.
Yeah.
Some may call me coach. Somebody may call me a deacon. Somebody may say youth director. They may say all these titles. I'm just Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
I respect it, but I'm just Curtis. I'm no different than the youth that's coming in. I've been there. I've done that. There's a respect level. There's a respect factor. But I'm just courteous. And that's how I deal with you. That's how I deal with the youth in the school, the youth in the church. I'm just Curtis. Kurt Jr. There's all type of names, but I'm just ordinary. I just lived a little bit longer and seen a little bit more than you. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just growing up, but that's it. I'll stop.
No, I love it. I love what you said, and absolutely, we need to have things implemented and put in place so when they do come in, you know, we can't just tell them, oh, just believe the Lord and all of that. No, you have to have programs and different things put in place, people put in place, and safety nets to help the youth that are transitioning into the church. Well, they don't feel like they're lost in the shuffle or feel like, okay, well, we're not a part of that because the church because we don't dress a certain kind of way or don't look a certain kind of way. Because, you know, truth be told, I've got tattoos and piercings and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, and you said something about coming out your suit and your dress, you know, pastors coming on getting on their level and talking and sharing their testimony. And, you know, we understand what the Bible says about testimony, but we struggle. Some of, you know, church, a lot of people struggle with sharing their true testimony and what God has brought them from because it's hard for them to live their truth and stand in their space. And be transparent. Yeah, I was once a teen mom, or yes, I sold drugs, or yes, I was a prostitute, whatever it is, because you're going to help someone else. And the longer we sit in our seat of do nothing and judge or turn up our nose or say, this child don't have no future because they have a baby, or this child, you know, is, you know, got felonies or whatever the case is, as long as we stay judgmental and hypocritical, it pushes them out. So I just, you know, I know that you talk to them, to the youth, especially at your church. What are they saying about the body of Christ? What are they saying?
They understand it. They're real positive. This is at my church. I don't know nobody else's church. Mm-hmm. They get it. They understand it. Where my church is more of a family-oriented church. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, the youth that are there probably has a lot of family that's there too. Some of the older saints that are there. So they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
So they get the body of Christ. There's the conversation at home a little more than maybe some other churches where they're just freely walking in. A lot of the youth that we have grew up in this church, so they get it a little bit more because they, you know, grew up with church. So they understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still have questions, but they get it. They're not turned off by it. You know, they just have typical youth questions about church. And, you know, they want to do more. They want to do more non-traditional type things.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, we're talking about the traditional aspect of things versus non-traditional. And we've been past the tradition of things for so long. You know, with things that's changing in the culture, we have different presidents, different types. We have so many different changes that everything can't just stay the same. I'm not saying the word of God is, you know, to be altered. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sometimes the presentation. I'm just talking about how we do things in the body of Christ. So that's what I'm talking about before you start hitting me up, talking about what you're talking about. That. And, you know, again, I have three sons born and raised in the church, and they're at an age, you know, where they're like, no, I'm good. You know, it's like, are you going to, no, I don't even ask them because, you know, like I said, they're grown, they got kids and whatever. And that's their, you know, and they're like, no, and I ask one day, why? And they said, and they know that their salvation is their salvation. It has nothing to do with no one else. But I said, what happened? They said, what we saw, what we heard, what we experienced. And they began to share. And I was a little shocked by some of the things that they said. And one of the things that they said was people talk about being the church. I mean, talking about going to church and everything like that, but they're not the church. They're not. They don't represent, you know, Jesus. They're not representing him. You know, they're saying one thing and shouting and doing all the other stuff. But then when they leave out or they get in the parking lot or go in the bathroom or whatever the case is, it's a whole different thing. And so we can't live a duplicit life. If we're going to be who we are, we got to be who we are because the youth are looking at us. They are looking up to us, and they do have questions, and they do have, you know, things that they want to ask, and they want to be in the forefront because they have a voice. And that's where our generation comes in at, to help them, you know, to prepare them, to train them, to get them where they're supposed to be. And we can't be scared that somebody's going to take our place. And a lot of people are scared.
This generation is smart. They can tell fake.
Yeah.
And they're turned off. I totally agree with what you're saying. They're turned off by those ones that act like they're perfect versus saying, hey, I still have struggles. You know, I may still smoke cigarettes. I may still smoke some weed, but I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to do better, you know. And so it's a fine line because I'm not saying that it's okay that they do it, but if you're trying to get better, kids are going to notice. You are going to see, okay, he is normal and he has faults, but he's also trying to do better. Versus the one that just points and says, yes, do it like this, do it like that, and no, that's not okay, that's not okay, you shouldn't do it like this, and we should do it like this. And then they turn around and see, everything they said, they're doing something different. Versus the one that just said, hey, I'm still a sinner. I still make mistakes. I have my addictions. I have my addictions that I'm working through. They can respect that because you brought yourself down to their level because they're dealing with stuff. You're dealing with stuff. Now you guys are on the same, they can understand you more. Versus the one that just acts, keyword acts, like it's all together.
You know, we're having this conversation, and I know I'm way past certain ages. But one of the things I just, you know, want to talk about or just share, and as we segue into the next question was, you know, my dad's a pastor. And so being PK, I've seen, you know, a lot, heard a lot. And, you know, and one of the things that used to always get me was they would say, oh, you're saved because your father is saved. I'm like, no. And I remember somebody said to me, because I was just a little rough, they said, you're saved because your father said, well, I said, I'm still doing X, Y, and Z. And, you know, it's like they were trying to make me fit something because of my father. And it actually turned me away from church. And I left church at 16 because of the pressure, you know, and my grandmother was a missionary and I was raised with her. So the pressure of being, you know, like her or like them, or you should be a certain kind of way. And that actually turned me away. I came back when I was like 21, 22 or something right there. But I left for a period of time because of what I saw, what I experienced, and what I heard. And so we have to be mindful as adults that you can say one thing and do something totally different. It's like, yes, your mouth is saying something else, but your body language is something different, you know. And we have to be mindful of that. And I'm telling you, I told God one day, I said, you know, I'm so grateful for relationship and not religion. And a lot of people, because I have a youth-oriented church pretty much, and they have a lot of questions about a lot of things. And, they always have the questions of, can we do this, can we not do this, what can we do, what can we not do? And I had to get them to understand about the difference between religion and relationship. And it was very difficult for some of them because some of them had been in other churches, and it was like, well, this is what we were taught, and this is what we were told. And it wasn't even biblical. So we got to make sure that we're doing our part as the body of Christ and not just being in the four walls, but getting out into the community and making change. So, I want to ask you about this question right here. I know that you have the Impact Conference coming up.
Yeah.
And I'm on social media, right? I'm over here on the different social networking sites and, on Facebook more so. I have a lot more church people, people that go to church on my Facebook page. So I see a lot of youth services, youth programs, things like that. So I want to know, what makes this Impact Conference so great? Because everybody's going to come to my conference. What would make them want to come to the Impact Conference?
The Impact Conference is outside of impacting the youth and getting them ready for things that they deal with and all of that. You get to come as you are. We have a saying for the Impact Conference that, come casual. Don't come in no tie. We come to church at 7, but come in your shorts and your T-shirt. Come as you are. You don't have to worry about dressing up. So that's the number one thing. A kid can be a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And as they come and be a kid, there's classes that we have during the day that prepares them in different age groups. In different age groups for middle school, preteen, all that. And they actually touch on social issues that go on outside the church. So it's not just read the Bible. They all tie it in to the Bible in your range of your age group. So why the middle school, you're talking about what goes on in middle school. How do you deal with being a middle school boy or a middle school girl and still be a Christian or still represent Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of them feel that they can't, they're not supposed to go to parties if they go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Not my belief. So it's just how you present yourself while you're at that party. So that's kind of what makes ours different. And I think I wouldn't say, you can come to my conference, you can go to someone else's. For me, as long as you go to somebody's conference, as long as you get it from somebody and go somewhere. So we just take this time out just to do what we do. Have some fun. We have a concert. I don't know if the flyer's up, but yeah, we have a concert on that Saturday. Ashley Barnes, that'll be here. I call her Facebook sensation. preachers from Atlanta, Pastor Ricky Morris, he was just here over the weekend.
Yeah.
He'll be back again. The flyer's up. Come check us out. I don't feel like I have to sell it. It's kind of like a Rolls Royce. You don't see commercials for that. You already know what you got. You know what you get.
Mm.
Come impact, get impacted. I don't need to sell it. Come check it out.
Mm. Mm. Well, hello. He's the Rolls Royce Ponty of Youth Conference. I love it. Okay. So give us a date. Give us where are you located? So we want to come.
I am in Seattle, Washington. The Impact Conference is in Seattle, Washington, June 28th to July 1st. Registration, $25. We are accepting to Radioland sponsors. If you want to sponsor a kid, you can register or even sponsor at nhmbcseattle.org/impactconference. That's nhmbcseattle.org/impactconference. Or you can call 206-384-5556, 206-384-5556. It's got a four-day conference, nightly worship, impact classes, impact conference, you know, closeout service, and it's at my church, New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, where the pastor is Dr. Robert L. Jeffrey, senior pastor. So,
and who is your youth pastor?
Come check us out. Youth pastor.
Who's your youth?
Oh, our youth pastor is the Demetrius Deep Devers. He is the director of. He is the director of the Impact Conference, and I work strongly beside him. He's a wonderful, wonderful man of God, and I enjoy working with him. We have a couple things that we work on together, and we work together at the church. As far as the youth, we work together outside the church. As far as the Impact Conference, we've been working together with the Generation Now that I was previous with. He was the director of that. So he's a great, great man of God with a blessing on his life. And love to you. And love to you.
So, you know, listening audience, you've heard a lot about the Impact Conference. You've heard what our co-hosts have had to say about the youth of today in the state of the church. Now, if you would like to contact him, or you would like to just bring him in to talk to your youth, you know, hit him up, because he would love to share. So, Curtis, at this time, can you give them your email address? So if they would like to contact you, they can.
Yes. Email is Curtis Riggins, CurtisRiggins at gmail.com. That's CurtisRiggins@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook. Curtis Riggins. You can just find me on Facebook, send a message. I'm on it, but I'm not on it, but I'll get your message.
Yes, he's on the social media platform. But at this time, you know, we're almost at that time where and that's the time I got to let you go. But if you would just like to take just a few minutes just to say something to maybe the church leader or the youth leader that's struggling to impact the youth that they have and to get more, can you just give them words of encouragement at this time?
Hold on. Just stay in prayer. Listen. Just open your mind and listen. Open your heart and listen and understand where the youth are today. That it's not this big drawn out speech I have. It's just you have to listen and understand. And it's okay if you don't have the answer. Don't try to give the answer. It's okay. Find the answer. Don't try to give it if you don't have it, because they will see through you. They will see through you, and you will lose them.
Well, I thank you so much for coming on and sharing. Thank you for encouraging the leaders that are going through, that's struggling. I just want to say to those that are listening, you don't want to miss this Impact Conference. I'm saying you want to, you know, put your change, put your coins, you know, do what you have to do and go.
to the youth conference because it's really going to be phenomenal. It's going to be life-changing. And, you know, it's called Impact. It's really going to impact your life. And so I just really wanted the listening audience to know that. Curtis, I thank you so much for saying yes to coming on the show. It didn't hurt that bad, did it?
Yeah, no problem. No problem at all. And just for the record, even though it's a youth conference, your parents are welcome too. This is for any and everybody. Everybody's welcome.
Parents, don't drop your kids off. You can come too.
Yeah, don't drop them
and
off.
Be a part of it.
I'm here.
Yeah, don't drop them off. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yeah. You know, come to the conference.
Come on, enjoy the party.
I just want to say to you again, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you, and I thank God for what you're doing and what you have done for our youth and what you are continuing to do for our youth as you go forward. You know, I know that it's not always easy because, you know, people raise their kids differently. You know, everybody raised their kids differently.
Right.
And so I just thank you for having the patience and the love and accepting the call from your life to impact our youth. So I just want to leave that with you. I just thank you so much. And I
appreciate
you being on the show.
I appreciate it. No problem. Anytime.
Thank you so much. And I will be having you back. So I just want to let you know in advance.
All right.
So,
yeah,
all righty.
Let me know, and I will be more than welcome to. Do not hesitate.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Well, listening audience, you know, I'm at that time that I hate. It's that time where I have to let you go, you know. But today, our co-host said a lot. And as a community, as a family, it just as individuals, as a body of Christ, we have to do better. We have to prepare our youth. We have to go out in the community like they used to do. We have to be a voice. We can't stand in judgment. We can't point fingers. We can't shun. We may not like their lifestyle. We may not like what they're doing. We may not like what they're saying. But, you know, if we really think back, when we were younger, I'm pretty sure some things that we've done, that our family, our, you know, our pastors, our community didn't like as well. So let us not forget where we come from, where we've came from. Let us not forget. Let us continue to pray. But not just pray, but do something. Make a positive change. Again, contact Curtis Riggins if you would like to speak with him or have him to come to your church or to your youth program. Also, go to the Impact Conference in Seattle. He's giving you the information, and it's up on our website. It will also be up on Facebook. It is on Instagram. His picture's there. And also the flyer's there as well. You don't want to miss it. Well, we're at that time. As I always say, continue to be encouraged, to be inspired, to be motivated, to change lives. Always remember that you are one of a kind. You are the designer's original. You are a masterpiece. Nobody can do what you do. Go out today and enjoy your day. Live your life. Be the best you that you can be. Thank you for tuning in to the LaRusha King Show on Living Out Loud Radio. And always continue to have a phenomenal day. Until next time.